At this point, I'm most interested in thinking about how tech influences people.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Arlene Ducal. I'm the chief of DuCorp Corp and the DuCode studio in Brooklyn, New York. DuCode is focused on sort of more design, screen-based design, client-type design. And then DuCorp is more product-focused.
What's so cool is that I got to see Arlene last night at the Urban X Accelerator BMW event. It was incredible. Tony Hawk was one of the keynote speakers. And her presentation skills were mind-blowing. And I know here in LA, there's so many people that have, you know, there's so many events that have pitch nights and so many people constantly trying to pitch. And it's such a big deal that, like, people don't know how to pitch and present themselves. And then you just, like, murdered it. If I can say it, like, it was just like, I'm like,
thanks.
Oh my God, Urban X must put them through some gnarly boot camp because her speech was like flawless and on time and on point and energized and passionate. And just, I was like, wow, I wish everybody in LA was able to do that.
Really, in this town where, you know, you have people like they're, the art of self-presentation is very high.
Right. No, totally. So, I mean, actually, before we totally get into it, how did you become so skilled at presenting?
Speech club in high school. I credited to that. And Ms. Williams, my speech teacher.
And tell us a little bit about Urban X. What is it, Urban X? Is it in LA? You were a part of Urban X in New York.
Right.
What is Urban X?
Urban X is a startup accelerator. The motto is the city as a service. So my research is in the intersection of smart cities and quantified self. So like data around cities. So that made it a perfect fit for me. Urban X, as you know, is underwritten by BMW, particularly Mini USA, and SOSV, which is a venture fund that only invests in companies that have been through one of their several accelerators. So probably their most well-known accelerator at this point is called HAX, formerly Hexcelerator, which is one of the first hardware startup accelerators in Shenzhen, China.
And when did you become interested in tech?
1985.
Whoa. What happened in 1985 that exposed you to the tech world?
That was when I used my first computer. My dad brought home like one of the first Macintoshes, and I was fascinated by it, and that was that.
Are your parents both into technology?
Yeah, to a certain degree. They're both retired now. My dad was an electrical engineer, and then my mom was a systems analyst, like a financial systems analyst.
And do you think if it wasn't for your parents being interested in technology, do you think you would have found the world of tech on
That's
your
a
own?
Great question. I honestly have no idea. I'll have to think about the parallel universes that
right?
exist.
What would you say your calling is?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. At this point, I'm most interested in thinking about how tech influences people, both as a technologist and as an artist, and how technology influences societies, and not just sort of the people at the top of the society or, like, you know, the people that sort of make all the decision makers and gatekeepers.
How did you get to where you are today? Like, I know that's a really big question, but, like, legit, like, how did you acquire the intelligence and information to be able to take action on what you do today?
So Multimer came out of our other project, which is kind of umbrellaed under Multimer, and it's a wearable called MindRider. And that is a really simplified brainwave sensor. And that came out of biking a lot in New York, actually. and finding it to be intimidating and stressful at times. And so when I took my sabbatical from Code in Brooklyn and was at MIT, my co-founder and I had already done a lot of bike outfit or helmet outfitting, you know, gadget type projects. And so these simplified brainwave sensors were just starting to hit the market. And being at a place that's as resource rich as MIT, I was able to acquire a lot of these sensors for R&D. And I, you know, put them on my helmet, and that's how MindRider was born. And MindRider's evolved and refined a lot since then, and that led to Multimer.
Was there ever a point where you recognized you were on a track that was leading you in a direction you didn't want to go to, and you made a change to pivot?
That's a great question, and yes.
Tell me.
So moving back to Brooklyn from Boston, my co-founder and I were thinking, okay, we're going to try this startup thing. And even though we'd been small business owners for a while, the notion of, you know, a startup was really different, you know, sort of like rapid growth, you know, the whole idea of growth that looks like a hockey stick. Right. You plot it out on a graph. In summer 2014, right after I moved back, we ran two Kickstarters. We had this huge goal. We put so much work into it, and it failed fairly miserably. Or at least we felt miserable. And then we did another Kickstarter, a much smaller Kickstarter, to collect the data that was focused on data and analysis. And that did well. Both were extremely draining experiences. And actually, my co-founder and I had to take a huge amount of time off because we were both really physically and mentally drained.
I bet.
And so at the time, you know, I think that was sort of a dark night of the soul, and, you know, where you sort of, you search yourself. You know, if you feel like crap all the time, you have to ask yourself, like, why do I feel like crap? What is going to make this worthwhile? What do I want to keep? You know, who do I want to keep? And, and what do I not want to keep? And how do I move forward from there?
100%. And those life experiences during that dreary time, how did they aid in your success today?
I'm not attached to any particular outcome. So, you know, if we raise a big round, great. If we don't, that's fine too. Especially in the smart city space, you know, because like governments, you know, foundations, nonprofits are very involved. I don't think the path that a lot of these companies will take will necessarily be that kind of hockey stick VC kind of path. And so I feel very comfortable with that, or, you know, whatever the path looks like.
What's next for you?
A number of city projects. So tonight I'm flying to Paris, and
Wait, that's where you're flying to tonight?
Yeah.
I remember that from your slides, but I forgot. I know you're going to the airport after this, but like, that's bonkers.
Yeah, that's going to be intense.
Oh my gosh, how fantastic. You're going on an adventure.
Yeah. So so my co-founder is European, and for a while that was kind of a difficult thing because it's like, where are we going to operate? But as our work evolves, it's kind of like, okay, well, he heads up the European office, so he's already in Europe. I'm going to meet him, and we're going to participate in the Nokia Open Innovation Challenge.
So cool.
And hopefully...
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and hopefully get to do some data analysis around Paris. And some work with Nokia.
What is the best resource you'd recommend for women wanting to pursue tech?
So number one, see what's out there in your community. If there is a place where you can go and really get your hands on technology.
Like a makerspace.
Yes, exactly. Like a makerspace.
And can you explain what a makerspace is?
Sure. So a makerspace, the machine shop of yesteryear and the craft space of yesteryear, you know. So like the sewing machine and the metal cutting machine, like all those machines have converged into this notion of the makerspace.
Would you suggest people just Google makerspace in their city?
Yeah.
That term?
Yeah, okay, definitely.
Cool. One thing I forgot to say, as people are listening, they'll probably want to like look you up and get to know more about you. So where can people cyberstalk you?
Well, it's easy. I have a website, ARLDUC, Arl Duke. For ArleneDucau.org, ArleDuke.org.
And how can people stay in touch with you if they want to connect with you after they're listening to the show?
Probably best with email. I'm not very good with social media, so just email me, and the email address is on that website.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming in to the studio in Santa Monica. And I seriously feel so blessed that I got to witness that last night. I feel like you could give classes on how to pitch. It was amazing. And I appreciate it. And I'm really excited to share your story with all the listeners. And you're amazing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you and to do the show.
Cool.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.